perfect timing. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Glad you're here today. Today we're going to talk about fellowship. And before we talk about fellowship, we're going to worship the Lord together. And a few thoughts about fellowship is take a look at everyone around you right now. Don't look too close. Don't look right in their eyes. Don't do that. So that'll make them feel uncomfortable. Because we're going to have a little experiment later on when we do our teaching. So just remember who you're sitting near, because you'll have to interact with them later. That, oh, great. But that's all part of fellowship, right? Being together, worshiping together in spirit and in truth. So let's pray, and we'll start off our service with spirit-led worship. Lord, we thank you so much for your time that you've asked us to just come together and worship you. We remember what you did for us on the cross. We remember how we're to bring psalms and hymns and spiritual songs together to worship you. And we do that even now. We ask that you would speak to our hearts today, that we put aside everything else, not think about school or work or house or the things I gotta do. All of that is put aside. We're focusing on you, Lord. And I just ask that we do that right now as we start the service. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right, good you know it. Actually, this next week it starts. So, can you guys hear me? Am I on, Earl? Hello? Testing. Good. Next Saturday, the first Saturday of the month, is our monthly prayer meeting. If you can join us for that, please do. It's an easy thing to get squeezed out of our lives. But if you can join us, we meet here at the church for 1 hour, and please do so. So we'll be here on Saturday morning. On Sunday, part of the March 6th, part of the Vintage Faith series, as we're focusing on things the early church was committed to, and Dave talked about the apostles' teaching last week, and Greg is going to continue this week. And next week, we're going to look at breaking of bread. It was one thing in Acts 2:42 the early church was committed to, and we're going to have a potluck lunch, I was going to say dinner, but supper, I forget how it works here in the Midwest, dinner, supper, they're all interchangeable words, but we're going to have a potluck lunch afterwards as part of our breaking of bread service, and we're looking for families who can help out and bring a dish to pass for that. And if you, before you leave, if you're going to be here and can stay for lunch and can help out, is I was able to convince Patty Fastel to help coordinate that, and she has a clipboard. If you could get with Patty before you leave and let her know what you can bring, that would be great. So wanted to cover that. Weekend after that, or 2 weeks, is that 2 weeks? Is March 19th. There's a women's Vintage Faith lunch. That's on Saturday. The announcement's in your bulletin. Please talk with Ruth or Laura if you're interested in more details on that, and they are providing babysitting for that time. And last but not least, of course, is Easter is coming up, and we're doing a Good Friday and an Easter service. It is a time when people think about coming back to church, so we'll have some promotional materials, an email textable link, and some invitations, but think about who you could be praying about inviting over this next week. And on Sunday, March 20th, we're actually going to go out and do some actual invitations on that day after the service. So if you could plan on that, I know that's a couple weeks away. And we just got this up in your bulletin. There's this blue flyer. See the blue flyer. Hold up the blue flyer. We, because of where we're located as a church, we host our Great Commission Leadership Training Conference. That's for churches in the East Plains region from Dubuque, Iowa, Janesville, all the way down to Indianapolis, and that's April 9th and 8th and 9th. It seems like a long way away. It's only 5 weeks away, so I wanted to get that out. here is the sign-up form. One of the things we changed is I want people to bring families not to be burdened financially. So anyone under 20 years old, if there's a paying adult, is included in the registration, is free. So something we're doing this year. So you don't need to sign up now, but wanted to get that dates, those dates established. So those are all of our activities. Whew, I'm exhausted from that. So thank you very much for your patience. This is the time in our service where we're going to do the offering. So the ushers are going to come forward and take that. And the children who are in Sunday school will get up and leave for Sunday school. Thank you.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome, and a special welcome to visitors today. We're continuing our series on vintage faith, and when we think of the word vintage, it might could mean some might think of a wine vintage, or things that are just old, old, and maybe or might think that should be thrown out, or just. We don't do those things anymore. They're vintage. Or they might think there's something that has aged with time and has gone even better, like wine or something of that nature. And that's hopefully what we're talking about when we talk about vintage faith. We're continuing that series. And this is kind of a quick schedule. Today we're talking about fellowship, and we'll be talking about breaking of bread and prayer. And as we'll see in as we see, this is our main verse that we've been really focusing on, looking at what did the early church do? And here, this verse is right there. They say, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Dave Talcott talked about that. And today we're talking about and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread. That'll be what Dean talks about, and to prayer. And then Earl is going to tell us all about prayer and how to be a better person of prayer. So when we talk about devotion to fellowship, you might think, oh, yes, yes, I'm devoted to fellowship. You know, I hang out with people at church, and I'm not, always offended by them, or I'm devoted to the apostles' teaching, to breaking of bread, and to prayer, and to fellowship. In this case, when they were doing this, when they were devoting themselves to this, why were they doing that? Well, they needed each other. They were very young at this time. Remember, they came together. There was no denominations. There's no booklets. There's no printed Bible. There's nothing. There's just these people hanging out together. And they want, the first thing that happened, very unusual, was that they wanted to be together in community. Why? Why should that happen? Jesus had just been crucified. But to them, he had risen again. Well, for unity and protection, and because of the bond of Christ, had brought them together. But what does that mean to you guys? Well, that's, the old church, they did that a long time ago. We don't have to be concerned about what they did now that we have more advanced technology and so on. Well, the same elements we're going to learn apply. And do we really need that? Yeah. Is the church just a nice social club? Something we kind of do together? That we hang out, and do stuff? We have talent shows, like yesterday, which was very cool, by the way. Or do we play bingo and do nice things for people? Is it just something to do on Sunday, like we're doing now? you know, before football starts? Is that really why we're here? Why are we fellowshipping together? And that's what we're going to look at. We're talking about what is fellowship? How is it different than, for example, hanging out or just other relationships? We're talking about why it's fellowship with God is so crucial to that relationship, and fellowship with the Spirit is so crucial to that relationship. And then we'll finally finish up with the fine line is how do we differentiate between relationships with those that don't believe in Jesus and those that do? How do we keep that in balance? So we're going to go through each area, see that it is fellowship is much, much more than just hanging out. It is a direct result of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a command, and it reflects what is really going on right here, and that's the heart. Let's pray, and we'll get started. Lord, we look to you. We ask that you would show us what fellowship is, that it would, whatever we talk about today, changes the way we treat one another. It changes the way we look at one another. It changes what we do outside the church and inside the church. That we see that it really is important, that it is something different, that it isn't just hanging out. It isn't just making friends. That fellowship means so much, much more than that. We ask that you'd help us to be devoted to it, even today. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. So, fellowship, the word, the Greek word that's used throughout the New Testament is koinonia. Didn't that sound very cool? I said it in the original Greek. Yes. Thank you. But it's often translated as fellowship. Why? Because it means a little, it's more than friendship. It doesn't mean have a relationship with. It means other things. It's very, very specific. It means communion. And it isn't like, it isn't just that thing like communion you might have at breaking of bread, though it might be part of that, or what you might see, for example, at a mass. It means intertwined. It's much, much deeper than friendship. It is more than just hanging out. It's getting to know each other pretty well. And we'll see that later as we have fellowship in the Spirit, too. We'll be talking about that. All these relationships are intertwined. But that relationship directly affects, that relationship with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit directly affects our communing with each other. And the strength of that relationship directly affects the strength of your relationship with that community. It also means, finally, sharing in common. We're going to read about that in a few seconds here. This is exactly how the early church saw communion with one another. They shared everything. So this is the verse after the one, our kind of highlight verse of Vintage Faith, 2:42. This is 2:43, and I'll read it for you here. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. Let's stop there for a second. That kind of goes with the sharing in common. They were in communion or in a community together. They were kind of, like a big family. They came together because of their common goal, because of the common beliefs and common sharing together. They were in communion together. So you get to know each other pretty well. And they began selling their property and possessions. They were selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continually with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So we see a picture here. So we have breaking bread once a month, and some of us feel like, wow, it's all we can do to get that done. But they were doing it every day. Every day. They were living together, sleeping together. They were all together. What things do we see here? All were inspired through the apostles, witnessing and teaching. As we learned from last weekend from Dave, all were awestruck with the wonders and signs, the miracles that we're seeing. They all saw them together. They believed together. They shared all things in common. They shared meals and breaking of bread together. And we're going to learn a little bit more about breaking of bread next week. They were glad and sincere. They were real with each other. They had to be. They were praising God together in worship daily. And God was adding to their number together. People were seeing that. They were a very tight community, community of believers being together. They would definitely get to know one another, both good and bad. So in some churches you might go to and, you know, they have the service, everyone kind of comes in, and then what happens when you know, the service is over, right? Everyone kind of leaves as soon as they can, right? Just got to get the, thanks, Pastor, great job. Got to get home, right? So I don't see that here in this scripture. I don't see that here in this church, because we're kicking out people at 1 o'clock. So I know that's not the case. They were a tight community, definitely a tight community. They would get to know each other, and they seemed to enjoy it, right? We don't see like, oh, they were really getting tired of one another. They started to get irritated and fight and so on. But they seemed to enjoy it and love it because they needed one another. Why? For support, for belief, and for love, right? And that is a sign in and of itself. Why should people come together for some dead prophet? Really? It's never happened before unless he really was the Son of God risen. That is the living basis of fellowship. Jesus is risen. That's why you're here, really. The very reason they came together for the first place was because of what they saw. They saw Jesus. They saw him rise. They knew that it was real. And they were all in, like the poker term. I'm in. I'm all in. They sold everything. They became one community. So what does that mean? When we talk about the next step, which is fellowship with God, when I say fellowship with God directly affects our fellowship with one another, I would say this relationship with himself is something Jesus spoke about, his relationship with us. And here's the verse that talks about it. John 15:13-15. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. Jesus laid his life down not for us, not because he did not and does not know us. He doesn't say, I just did it for kind of everybody because, you know, I want to do it for everybody. I'm a nice guy. But because he does know us, he says, someone lay down his life for his friends. He does know us and wants more relationship because of that. He called us friends and proved it by laying down his life for us. If you lay down your life, you give your life to somebody, you change the course of your life for somebody, you don't do it for just a random person. You do it for someone that you care about, I would assume. He called us friends and proved it by laying down his life for us. Then he says he will give us his Holy Spirit, which is the helper. We'll talk about that relationship in a little bit. And he will live in us. That is very communal, to have the Holy Spirit live in us. Gets to know us pretty well. That's kind of close. That's about as close as you can get to know our insides and to live there and be happy there. You know, you'd think. Particularly if I know myself, it's like, why would you want that? Why would you want to be a friend of me? He even says this in this verse, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Can this relationship really exist? Well, they believed it. Is it really desired by him? They believed it. And this next verse answers that. Is this really possible? It says, God is faithful, though whom you were through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son. Notice it doesn't say into servanthood or into God-man relationship necessarily. Called into fellowship with his Son. The same word that's used in Acts 2 is used here. Fellowship, communal, sharing together, being together, intertwining, togetherness with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God doesn't just say, want to be religious. Want to come and, you know, do religious things and be religious and you know, put on a robe and stuff and be in a nice, pretty church. Is that what he's calling us to? He's calling us to community with him and to fellowship with not only himself, but his friends, which is us. So, not just, he sees the same, that relationship as almost the same as a community. The faithful God calls us all into that, and that is the common bond that they had and that we have. Only through that can you really be bonded to one another in this way. That's different than other bonding, which we'll talk a little bit. Only when we accept his gift and are fellowshipping with him can we fellowship with one another. This is one of my favorite verses about this concept. This is also a song that we sing. It's kind of like an if-then statement in a computer program. But it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we walk in the light, if we're in fellowship with God, if we're with doing the things that he asks us to do, if we're communing with him, we can commune with one another. Only then. Anything else is probably an Oscar-winning acting job. Anything else is just, well, you like the people. They're nice. They don't bug me too much. And you like hanging out. You like doing fun things. If you are not in communion with God, you will become weary of trying to keep up with the facade of being in communion with his believers, his followers. It will become a tiresome task. And it is during these times that give us true appreciation for one another, I think, and true communal fellowship occurs. And this is an example of that in Yes, I did. Woohoo! Good. Didn't lose my place. So, in short, if you have true fellowship with people, you got to know the King. But to know the King is to know his cross. So in teen group, we're learning about being a fan versus a follower. It's called Not a Fan. You may have heard me talking about that. And a fan, in the definition of the material, a fan is someone that cheers for Jesus. Go, Jesus. Right? And a follower is on the playing field, actually doing the battle or the game or whatever you want to call. Whatever's happening on the playing field, you're in there doing it, taking up their cross daily and doing what he did, dying to themselves to be a disciple for the sake of those that are in the world. Fans can commune with each other, but players on the field can commune with each other, but their experiences are different, right? Because they are certainly casualties of war. A watcher cannot relate as well to the doer can with another doer. So football players can probably, I know how to play football on a, I'm not saying I do. An NFL player can say, another player can relate with another player because they've been there, right? I can't relate with an NFL player and all the things that they've done because I've never played professional football, and it's a good thing too, right? That's not something I want to do. I can be a fan of that, but I don't want to be a follower for my own protection. But I can't relate with them in that arena like another player can. I have counseled with those that have actually been in war, like a fighting war, like in Vietnam, for example. And the two most powerful themes I've heard are besides trauma, is loyalty to one another. It's exceptionally strong, very strong. And one of the common themes is, why me and not my buddy? Why did I come back? Why is that there? Because they were there together. So like soldiers in an army on a weary battlefield, our common fight and battle is what binds us in communion. We can relate when we talk about, I was trying to share the gospel today and it was pretty hard. Or I went up to this door and knocked and the dog was barking and they didn't seem to really want me there. We can certainly, there's certainly casualties of war. And that common experience binds us together like a band of brothers. Some casualties are in the form of people leaving the church or even the faith. Sometimes it's scars of the battle or depression or hurt. And the church is not, if that's normal. That is what should be happening when there's war. If it isn't happening, then and everything's perfect and nice, then it's just a social club. And that's not, you don't have that, you don't have scars or battle or depression or hurt if you're just playing bingo, right? It's not just one of the things we do on the weekend to fill our time and be religious and make friends. It is the common goal, this common goal that binds us. It is the tragedies that show Christ come through. I want to read this. This is what I wanted. This is Daylights from 2 days ago by Kelly Downey. And these are available for free over on the book table. They say Faith Walkers on them, and that's the new name. They used to be called Daylights. Now they're Faith Walkers. And she's from Cedar Creek Community Church in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And her verse that she quotes is Philippians 1:9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Here's what she says. What if we could see spiritual battle wounds like you see a war vet is missing a limb? Would we have a different perspective on the people around us? I think that it is a humbling and beautiful thought, because I know that I am surrounded by men and women who have committed themselves to the spiritual battle of sharing the gospel and loving the church. When someone you are in close relationship with leaves the church in bitterness, their departure leaves a mark. When a ministry doesn't go the way you had hoped, it might leave you limping. When sorrow or pain comes from this world, it can leave holes in your heart. When the enemy attacks unity, there are scars. If we could see these battle wounds, wouldn't it change our perspective? I'd like to think that I'd be less critical and frustrated with people. I hope that I'd be more captivated by things like their faithfulness, endurance, and resolve to love others. I want to love with a depth of insight that gives a perspective that deepens my respect for people's integrity and softens my critical eye. I want to be beyond flesh and blood to see the soul and to love deeply. I want to value things like loyalty more than I am frustrated by a difference in preference. I want to see people the way God sees them, with depth and insight. That's where it ends. It is when these things are tough that we can really show Christ within us. And that's when it's tough that I think that we can have true fellowship. It is during these times give us true appreciation for one another and true communal fellowship occurs. Here's a verse that kind of talks about that, Philippians 2:1. Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of spirit, if any affection and compassion, and he's kind of like, if I could stop there for a second, look what he's saying. He's like, look, if these things really exist, if they're true, if Christ is real, if there's encouragement in there, if there is real love, if there's this consolation of love, if there's really such a thing as fellowship in the Spirit, if there's truly affection and compassion, and you have it, make my joy complete by being in the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. If those things are true, this is what I should see. Those things you should be able to be a part of, because all of these other things are part of it. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Consolation of love, affection, compassion, joy, same mind, love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Selflessness, humility, self-sacrifice. These things cannot be self-generated or faked. They occur as a direct outcome of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ living inside of us. And that is what people are desperately looking for, and I feel it is a strength of our church, which is our fellowship and strong relationships. They can also be scary. If people don't want that communion, if they want to keep everybody out, then that'll actually be scary, right? Hey, let me be your friend. Get away. Right? Let me help you. I can do it on my own. I'm strong enough. I can do it. I don't need God. I don't need people. That's where it can be scary. The only thing difference between us and me or you and them is that you've kind of figured out how really weak you are. For when we are weak, then we're strong. That strength that we have is a strength of the early church as well. They were sharing things in common, doing everything together in love. Look at Paul's attitude in these two verses here. And he says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Be with you. He says in Philemon, "And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ Jesus." Christ's sake. Okay, so now it's demonstration time. One of the things churches do, and I know we don't do this, we do this more outside of the actual service, but they'll say, okay, I want you to turn around, at some point in the service, they'll say, turn around and greet someone next to you. And you're going, oh my gosh, what is he doing? Why are we doing this? So that's a typical thing. And what I'd like you to do, I want you to greet the person, someone near you that, you know, and I want you to greet them with the worst greeting you could think of. Just sloppiest greeting you could think of. Just like you might do at work. Yo. Yeah. What's up? I want you to try that. Whatever you want to do. Do that. Get up. Everyone get up. Stand up. Worst greeting you could think of. You guys got to do it. Put your hand there. Sorry. All right. Yo, what's going on? Okay. I'm sure that didn't take very long. All right, now, remember who you greeted. Stay standing. This isn't over. Far from over. Okay, now, either of these two phrases, either of these two verses, I want you to now greet the same person that you greeted and say that deeply into their eyes. I want you to say, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ." Here, I'll do it with Amy. Amy, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you now and always." Do it. Okay. Should you try it? And when you're done, you can sit down. Okay, you can have a seat when you're done. Thank you for doing that. Thank you, Mike. So, now, what was the difference there? What were some differences? You just yell them out. Was the first one easy?
Yes.
Yeah, was the second one easy?
No.
All right. What? He was a problem? Oh, yeah, I know. We're working on it. So it was it comfortable, the second one? No, it was less comfortable, right? So it was, whoa, getting a little close, right? Our shell is being stepped through, right? Our little space, right? But imagine it, and a lot of you people know each other, and I saw a lot of you went to someone you knew. It's like, oh, boy, I got to do this. But imagine if someone you didn't really know. So one of the things that's really neat is that we really kind of know each other. A lot of churches, they don't know each other. So it is, and I've observed this, and they're like, how you doing? Oh, boy. Well, I'm done. And they sit down, right? Because it's uncomfortable to meet someone you don't know. To think about getting in communion with someone you really don't know, you're kind of like, well, is this person going to be nice to me? Is this going to be weird? And everything like that. Did you notice the difference in how it was delivered and how it was received, the first one versus the second one? Right? The second one had more meaning, maybe? What if we really did something like that to each other every day? That's actually what's commanded. Oh, boy. It would change your perspective and promote true fellowship. In fact, a test for today is after we go get our cookies, let's not just say, hey, how's it going? I want you to say, greetings to you in the fullness of Jesus Christ. And you should try that. We'll try that today, okay? I'm going to do it, and let's see if you guys are doing it, right? If you say, what's up? I'll say, I don't know what you're saying. I do not understand.
So what does that show?
What does it really show when someone greets you that way? It shows how you've been transformed, right? How you've been, and it promotes communion, and I'll prove it here. This is the way they talk to each other all the time. And do not be conformed to this world. See, it's not what we do in the world, right? We don't go out and say, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. They go, get away, right? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what's going on inside, what the will of the Lord is, and with that which is good and acceptable and perfect. In my faith in Christ makes me like anyone else, just conform to the world around me, then what good is that faith? It's just, I'm like anybody else. I'm just one of many. I'm just a nice person that likes to do religious things. And I want to be so much more than that. Why? So that I can be called the disciple of Christ and have an effect and not be conformed to this world. And because that affects my fellowship and relationship with you guys and all those who walk in the light, it will affect. If I don't walk in the light, if I'm kind of in my own little world, that will affect my relationship with everyone else. And I'll tend to seek out those that aren't walking in the light too, because that's where they want to be. It's a fine line between these worlds, and it affects our fellowship with each other. And our fellowship in this battle, in this wounding, in this area, is what keeps us sane. And it is very much a fine line. And you might be thinking now, what about other relationships? You know, we're told to be a light unto this world. And that is so very true. And that's where the battle is, right? And so, but it is a fine line we walk between light and darkness. And trying to live a godly life and also pull others from the pit of despair or out of the, we used to call it, you know, save them out of from drowning. And we're not to be part of that world anymore. We're not part of that, but we're also in it. And they are two, but yet they're two polarizing forces: light and darkness. And one is of God, and the other is not. And this idea of darkness and light, metaphorically, is used to describe this kind of these two worlds often. And this is where one of the places it appears, if not the first place. And this is the first verse of the book of John, and we share this often. It says, in the beginning was the Word. This is talking about Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And He was at the beginning with God. All things came through Him. This is talking about His creation. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that was come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And it's capitalized. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There's a song, one of my favorite songs. This is from the 80s. I think it came out in 88. That's when we came here as a church. It's called The Fine Line. I'm going to read a few verses from it. And you can look this up. It's by Wayne Watson. It's called The Fine Line. He says, "There's a fine line between contentment and greed, between the things that I want and the things that I need, between enough and enough and where desires feed. It's a fine line. How do I live with so much here with the spoil of the blessed and not abandon this boat for the sea of excess, to aspire to great things, yet be filled with humbleness? It's a fine line." Oh, yes, it's a fine line. And this is another verse that kind of describes this. If we're a servant, we can't serve two masters. He will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth. The other translations say mammon. What does that have to do with fellowship? What does that have anything to do with? That's about, now, Greg, you're talking about, you know, wealth and words and stuff like that. Well, if we decide to follow ambition, wealth, or anything else, that is part of the dark side, as it were. We will fill our heart with that, and instead of Jesus, with the who is the light, and abandon the light and walk in darkness. And if we walk in darkness, we won't comprehend the light very well, or we'll, at least we may even start to hate it. And when someone who is walking with Jesus tries to engage us in fellowship, it'll feel weird and hateful, and in fact, we would be repulsed by it. And that's an indication of not that there's something wrong with that person, which is what we originally think. Well, the reason I don't like that person is because they're just weird. They're just kind of a pain. If only they were this way, then I would like them. Then I could be in fellowship with them. They could be my friend. Well, maybe it's something else. I had a friend in college who got saved. This is, you know, just a few weeks ago. And who got saved and then started following after being the best at everything. That was his goal. Fame and fortune. He didn't want to hang out or come to meetings anymore or be with us. In fact, he would often react violently when I invited him. Fellowship became a hateful thing to him. We can also, in our reaching out to the lost, lose our own way. And like an undercover agent that loses who they are, they go over to the dark side in action and in heart. They become a mobster, or they become whatever they're trying to flush out, as it were. And that can happen to us too. And that's kind of what the song is talking about. And it will affect our fellowship with those who follow the light. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or fellowship with light and has with darkness? This verse is often used in marriage counseling when a Christian is considering marrying someone, maybe who's not a Christian. But why? Well, you're going to become one with them, and one is following the path, one's following one path, one's following another. It's going to make it very difficult. Truly communing will be difficult. Truly going in one path will be very, very, very difficult. And this binding is not just talking about marriage relationship. In fact, it may not be about that at all. But it's talking about anything where we could have friendships or be in love for things or even people and can be drawn into and over the line as we try to help people. And we to the point where we become indistinguishable from them. This is one of my favorite lines from this song. There's a fine line between taking bread with a lost man and being consumed by his way. While reaching out in love, temptation's right at your door. Guard what you're thinking of. It's a fine line. You know, you're reaching out to someone at work and you go out afterwards to share gospel, but then you start going, you know, you go out to the bars or whatever it's going to be, but then you start going out because you like being there. It's comfortable. And away from all your troubles, and then before you know it, you're part of the nightlife. And you are not coming home on time. That is the fine line crossed, right? You were reaching out. You were reaching out in ministry, and you became the ministry. That's the fine line we walk every day, and we cross over or we stay in the light. That is why we need fellowship. That's where we should get our community. That's where we need our support and our accountability and that closeness, because we are at battle. This is the chorus of that song. So where do I walk? Where is my place? The straight and narrow, the road of grace, holding fast to you, walking at your pace, walking on the fine line. There it is. So, closing with this verse, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. We cannot fellowship with two masters, two peoples, two different sides of the battle, nor fellowship. Friendship and relationships are one thing, and they're great. Fellowship is the very heart level and shows who are really following. And that is why it is so crucial to be devoted to it for our protection and support. And it was then, as it was at the beginning, and so it is now. This is what we talked about, fellowship defined, our fellowship with God and the Holy Spirit, how those are so important, and how that'll help us prevent from crossing the fine line. I want to close with this verse. This is the verse, one of the verses I shared. And this if you forget everything else, remember this verse. If we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. Let's pray. Lord, we pray and thank you so much for your fellowship, that we have one another to rely on for support, for accountability, for growth, because we are at battle. We are at battle. And the battle is people's souls. And we ask, Lord, that as we see, that we look at each other, seeing that there are scars there. There are wounds and from the battle, and that we appreciate one another for the fight that we're in. We do ask that you help us not to cross the fine line, but to stay on understanding and comprehending the light. In your name we pray. Amen.